Welcome to the M2I Alternative Investments Chat, where we demystify the world of alternative investments and financing for entrepreneurs and investors alike. With these discussions, we hope you're more empowered to unlock new opportunities in your business or your portfolio.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of M2I Alternative Investments Chat. I'm Erin, and this is Erica. And today we're going to be talking about the five biggest misconceptions that companies face when having a debt offering or sponsoring a debt offering. So first off, we can jump into what a debt offering actually is. If you want to kind of hear some more information, we have a episode where we jump into debt offerings and the different kinds of debt offerings and different rules. But just as a quick overview, a debt offering is a way for a company to raise capital by issuing bonds or notes, P notes, promissory notes, to investors. The company essentially is borrowing money from investors under the agreement that they'll pay that back, usually with high interest over a certain amount of time. And the companies usually opt for this type of capital raise to ensure that they don't have to give up a portion of the ownership of their company equity, and they're able to just take on some debt instead. So we can jump into that first misconception. What is it?
All right. So when people think of a debt offering, we'll go into five big points that are misconceptions. So number one is debt offerings are only for large corporations. Here's the thing. To grow and to thrive, many companies need to take on additional capital, no matter what the size is. Small, big, large, everything else in between. So it's, to support existing operations or to expand their business. Mm-hmm. Financing can help companies get into the right position and take advantage of available opportunities. You need money. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to buy things. So although there are various financing options for businesses, they generally fit into two categories, and that's debt financing and equity financing. We've covered both debt and financing in a previous episode, so definitely if you're not tired of listening to us talk yet, please go back and listen to those episodes. We do definitely go into a little bit more deep dive on both of those. So when a company decides to take out a loan, it has two options. You can go to the bank, or the other one is to ask investors to borrow money from them. So issuing debt to investors is the preferred method because sometimes of the small company, financial institutes may not loan you the money because you don't have any historical data to say, hey, we're going to do good. Or sometimes they're like, okay, we're going to give you this money, but you have to spend it on X, Y, and Z.
Sure.
So it's better just to reach out to friends and families and investors to try to start getting that money. Many medium-sized and small companies, they're less likely to obtain a bank loan, relying them to internal funds, their own personal funds, and then friends and family to launch their initial business. We talked about that again in a different episode about like angel investors and things of that nature.
Sure.
So for example, one of those companies that started with not enough money, Google. So when Larry Page and colleague Sergey Brin initially thought of the concept to create a better search engine, their initial capital wasn't enough to cut the deal. Also, poorly named, personal opinion, of course, it was called Backrub.
That sounds like something you find on Craigslist. I'm not down for that.
No, thank you. The backside of Craigslist. So it didn't take off until they got some funding. So they took their entrepreneurial skills and impressed this guy named Andy Bechtolsheim. Great German name. German, obviously. So he's an electrical engineer and entrepreneur investor. He gave them $100,000 to secure a garage. I don't know why all like tech companies start in garages. Maybe we should buy a garage to improve their innovation. So with these funds, they got enough resources and to actualize their idea and get Google off the ground. Think about what the online world would be without Google.
Right.
I mean, it's an adjective now.
Yeah.
I Googled it.
Yeah.
Like, I say Google for everything, even doesn't matter which, like, even if I'm looking through my emails, I say, I just Google this word. And I'm like, it's not really Google, but it's literally
Yeah.
So that's one misconception. Let's go into another one.
Okay. Yeah. Number two. Debt offerings are too complex or costly, which we do hear this a lot. corporate debt offerings can be complicated. A lot of capital raise can be complicated just in general.
Makes sense.
But there are a wide range of rules and regulations that companies must follow when issuing debt to investors, but it's not impossible. And there's a lot, that also means there's a lot of different ways that you can issue debt. Debt offerings must be structured properly. If it's not structured properly, that could cause serious problems for your business if you're not following those rules or you're not financing the right type of debt for your company. Mm-hmm. We also know from a past episode that there are certain limitations on the amount of debt that you can raise with certain regulations. So you have to make sure that if you're wanting to raise a certain amount of capital, that you're following the rules and regulations that allow you to do that.
Got it.
You need to remember that corporate debt is a type of a security. And if your company is considering issuing a debt offering, you should consult with an experienced securities and corporate finance attorney, which we say this all the time. You should always have a lawyer or someone that's giving you that legal advice when you're doing anything with finance, just because there are so many rules.
Yeah, right.
And your attorney will obviously help you assess all of the available options, what sorts of ways that you can raise that debt, and will also help you figure out what lines of credit you should take and what are the appropriate steps for actually structuring that debt offering for your company.
That's good to have somebody in your corner.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would not suggest trying to do any of this by yourself. Yeah. In some cases, there are actually tax deductibles for raising money through debt financing, which can be a really great benefit. And it allows the company owners not to give up any of their shares of the company, which we mentioned. That piece of the pie, yeah. You get to keep the entire pie. You don't have to siphon out sections of the pie in order to get that capital in that you need. And you don't have to relinquish your decision-making authority. The company still remains yours, and you get to make all the choices, and you still remain in charge.
That's good. That's really good, because it's so easy to give somebody some equity, and then all of a sudden they're making the decision on your company.
Yeah, your baby, right? Yeah, something that you've spent so much time and you have a vision for. So this is a way to still maintain that control. And this can be especially valuable for a company that has projected strong growth in the future. If you are able to take on, think about Google. If you're able to take on, you know, a couple $100,000 from somebody else, I mean, mm-hmm. Google can pay that back tenfold now, right?
Yeah.
More than that.
Yep,
so
exactly.
That's just an exciting way to think about it. You can take on a little money now. And if you're pretty sure that your business is going to grow and you'll have that money to pay it back, like this is a great way to finance your capital raise.
So misconception number two, debunked.
Yes.
I like that. So
Mythbusters.
Yes. I wish we could do cool stuff like them. Do we have the set and the money for them? Write that down. Let's do that later. Anyway, so misconception number three is that debt offerings will overburden a company with debt. Mm. So there is, you know, this pervasive myth that only poorly managed companies have debt. We think about debt. We think about somebody who spends outside their limits.
Sure.
Debt is not a good word in our vocabulary.
It has a negative connotation.
Exactly. Debt. So here's the thing, though. Under the right circumstances, debt can become a key factor in success for these businesses. And if you're avoiding incurring debt because you think it's bad for business, there's a good chance that you're making a mistake there, buddy. Mm. So always look at your options. Now, again, we're not encouraging anybody to like go out there and like rack up the credit card and, you know,
take on a bunch of debt that they can't pay back.
No. We don't want you to take as much debt as possible. Debt is not something to be piled on to your business. Mm. It's to take, you know, you don't just take it just because. You want to make sure that it's well-managed, thought-out process. Mm. You can't avoid it either. Mm. As a good business, you should take on some debt. So there is a thing called good debt. Mm. So Forbes describes good debt as money borrowed by business owners to pay for items that will continue to grow for the growth and development of their company. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be equipment, pens, paper, that toilet paper we talked about last time. Got issues, you know, or maybe even like a new office building. Maybe you are growing so much that you need to purchase a larger building.
Right. Hire more staff.
Exactly. Yeah. So those new are equipment. Great ways to use that borrowed money. Good debt, like we talked about earlier, is strategically sought out with thoughtful consideration given to the interest rate, the terms, and how the company will pay the debt back. You can't just be like, give me $100,000. Or like, how are you going to pay me back? You're like, I don't know, figure it out. It's like, it doesn't work like that. You got to give them some terms, how much interest they're going to receive. Because no one's just going to loan you a large sum of money and just be like, whenever's cool.
Right. Yeah. You have to agree to the terms. And a great way to think about is if you're able to, you know, if you get this one piece of equipment, you're able to expand your business by X amount and you're able to produce X more, which will mean X more revenue. So you're able to kind of utilize that capital planning part of it and see, okay, if I increase my production by doing this, I'll actually have that money to be able to pay back that debt that I took on.
So absolutely correct. It's not even funny. So, you know, good debt will alleviate a strain on your cash flow. Mm-hmm. But again, you have to have a solid plan in place to pay it back.
Right.
And then when you're thinking about raising funds in the form of debt, sometimes it's easier if you think about it as switch that negative word of debt to leverage. Mm. So borrowing money as a company, you're leveraging the lender's money to achieve something that will grow your business and boost its value. Mm. And again, lastly, don't ever forget that when you raise capital utilizing that debt offering, you keep control of the full company.
Yeah, that's the big takeaway, right?
Yes, exactly. How do you keep all of the pie but still have enough money to like bake other pies?
Yeah, to stay in business and do what you need to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're on to misconception number four, which is investors are not interested in debt offerings from small companies. So we have heard that some of these, you know, industry giants like Apple have issued debt, actually, and people purchase bonds from Apple. So why would someone want to, help Apple with their capital raise through debt, but also, you know, maybe help a smaller company? Let's get into this. The biggest reason to invest in alternative assets, period, such as debt, is to smooth a portfolio's overall return and to distribute that risk. You're diversifying your portfolio. And you're also able to utilize assets that have little or no correlation with the actual stock market, which helps mitigate that risk. So instead of the, 60-40 portfolio, you're incorporating these other alternative products that are able to help you. If the, stock market goes down, you're able to still have your portfolio stay afloat, hopefully with these other products that you have invested in.
And that's very important considering, I know last week, if you follow anything on the stock market, like Warren Buffett was selling off tons and tons of his stocks and people were going, why? Why? It makes people very scared because he is a very, very, he's an investor who that's what he does for a living, essentially.
People trust him.
And so when you start selling stuff off, that's scary. And then also, I personally, my stock dropped almost $1,000 and I was like,
scary.
It's scary. And so when you have these alternatives that don't correlate to that, it's like, okay, like even if I lose $1,000, I know I've got this other money and this other, that has nothing to do with what's going on, the interest rates from the feds.
Right.
This upcoming election, all that stuff that can definitely
make the stock market come up and down.
Mm-hmm. Roller coaster?
Roller coaster.
Like my stomach every single time I log on, I'm like, what are we going to get in today? So that's, I think that's awesome. But sorry, keep going. I just get really excited about
stocks these days.
I know.
The excitement is overflowing. So there are different types of debt offerings, such as a bond and a promissory note. And those have, they can have different interest rates and durations, which can appeal to different investors, depending on what sort of investment they're looking for. Promissory notes are typically shorter term securities with higher interest rates, and bonds are typically longer term securities and are typically thought to have those lower interest rates. So it just depends, like what's your risk profile, what's the duration of time you're willing to invest this money, debt offerings typically offer a higher rate of return than other asset classes in general, though. So that's something to keep in mind and why debt offerings can be attractive to investors.
Yeah.
And debt payments must be made regardless of business revenue. So let's say you invest in that piece of equipment and things are not going as you had hoped. You still have to pay back your investors for that money. You can't just say, oh, well, my business isn't doing well, I can't pay you. So it doesn't quite work like that. So investors, are getting those regular interest payments, which are, you know, passive income, which can be also very attractive to an investor.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. And you can become a creditor as the person who's lending that money without taking responsibility for a company's daily operations. So obviously you have no piece in terms of how the business is actually running, which is a nice thing in the sense that you don't have to worry about it. It's not an extra stress on your plate.
That's nice.
So I'm sure you probably heard of a little company called Shopify.
No, no idea what you're talking about. None. No idea.
They have really revolutionized e-commerce, and they are another company that was successful by starting a debt offering. Tobias Luttke, along with his friend Scott Lake, decided to start that e-commerce software after Tobias was frustrated by what was then available in the market, which naturally that's how a lot of these companies get started.
I can do it better.
And it took them over 18 months and funding of about $200,000 from friends, an additional $250,000 from angel investors to get it right. However, the funding did not stop there. In 2010 and 2011, they raised a combined $25 million to help their business.
Nice.
And these loans helped these friends develop Shopify together. And it's identified as now one of the biggest e-commerce platforms in the world. So they were able to borrow that money, pay that back. And it was largely successful for
That's
them.
Awesome. Yep. It pops up every single time I make a purchase, which is often. So you're welcome, Tobias and your friend. Okay. So there's another one. And then our last misconception about debt offerings is that debt offerings limit flexibility and financial freedom. So let's figure out why that is wrong. Mm. So when you're, there are two different kinds of debt. There's secured debt and unsecured debt.
Mm-hmm.
So secured debt is debt backed by assets that are used as collateral. Mm-hmm. The assets is a pledge to the lender in case the borrower doesn't repay the loan.
Mm-hmm.
If the loan isn't paid back, then the lender has the option to seize that asset.
Yeah.
So think of like a car loan. Like when you go to purchase a car, your lender gives you all the money and you buy the car. If you miss a payment or several, as the lender, you can go in and say, okay, you're not going to make the payments. Thank you very much. I'm going to take my vehicle back, mm-hmm. and I can resell it. So you can recoup those gains.
Mm-hmm.
You're not out any money. So that's a nice one. And then secured loans generally have lower interest rates because you have that collateral.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lower risk for lenders.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about, I don't know, are they going to make the payment? Well, what am I going to do? I'm expecting this.
Right.
So that's really nice on those secured ones. Now there is unsecured debt. And that does not require collateral. So when a lender makes a loan with no assets held as collateral, it relies on the borrower's ability to repay the loan.
Mm-hmm.
But with unsecured debt, the borrower is bound by a contractual agreement to repay the funds. So if something was to, if they weren't, you could take them to court. It would not be fun. But you could.
Right.
Because there is a contract there. So when you're using a debt offering, your company gets to set the rates and the terms for the investors. That's
mm-hmm.
what's really cool. You get to say, this is how much I need, this is what I'm going to pay you back, and this is when I'm going to pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
And they can offer financial flexibility in a few ways. One is that customization, just like I was talking about. You, unlike bank loans, that they're like, this is how much money we're giving you, you need to pay me back this much on this date. No, like there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
Here you go, sign it.
Right.
And move on. No, companies and investors can negotiate specific terms
mm-hmm.
That suit their respective needs
right.
and their preferences. So it's really great that you can be like, you know, you're the lender. So you get to say, hey, I'm going to pay you back this much at this time.
Right.
And the investor can be like, okay, cool. I like those. Or they can come back and you guys can negotiate. That's really cool. There are competitive interest rates. So in some cases, companies offer more attractive interest rates,
mm-hmm.
enhancing overall profitability and that project viability.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if it's like, a lot of companies have different interest rates.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you. That magic word, diversified fund sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
Can help companies diversify their fund sourcings by approaching a range of investors, including individuals and businesses. So you can still get a little bit of that institutional money. And this can help reduce the risks associated with relying on a single institution. Again, you've got a few different people to kind of spread out. And everyone's got a little bit, maybe has different terms. So you kind of keep that money in that cash flow so that you can keep your business up and running. And then lastly, it's going to build relationships. So engaging directly with your investors throughout your loan notes, you know, once they come to maturity, and let's say you think of something else and you need to raise debt again, you can reapproach those investors and say, hey, you had such a great time giving me money.
Yay.
And I gave you money with some back.
Yeah.
Like, I've got this new project. Yeah. And they're probably most likely going to, if they have the financial means to do so, reloan you money.
Yeah, building your network.
Exactly, exactly. So again, five misconceptions that are completely and utterly debunked.
Debunked.
Sorry, no smoke, no cool experiments. And I don't have a really awesome mustache and hat like that guy does.
No, you don't.
Darn it.
That's okay. It's never too late though.
I don't know how I look in a mustache. I'll send some Photoshops for you later.
Perfect. So to kind of wrap up this episode, as we've seen, taking on debt could be beneficial for companies of all sizes, small and large, and our in-betweens. Debt offerings can be less costly and can provide great tax deductions, which are super attractive. And if you plan debt correctly, it could be a key factor to your business's success. Debt offerings allow investors a great way to diversify their portfolio, so it's a win-win. And they allow the company to stay in the driver's seat, so they don't have to give up any equity in order to continue to grow their business.
Keep that pie.
Keep that pie. Exactly. If you are looking to capital raise, definitely explore different debt offerings that are available to you. It might be a great option for your business to help take it to the next level. And of course, don't forget that legal advice. You know, consult with a lawyer and do your due diligence. And we're so glad that you joined us today for this episode. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more insight in our next episode. And don't forget to subscribe to continue the journey with M2I. See you next time.
Content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional, financial, or investment advice. This podcast should not be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any securities. We strongly recommend that you seek advice from a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.